You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat. All right. Hi, everybody. It's August 28th, 2018. I'm here in the audio chat live stream with an old friend, One Born Free. Hello, One Born Free.
Hello, Fakeologist. Ab, well, I don't know what you go by now these days. Fakeologist is a bit of a mouthful. I just call you Ab.
Say Ab. Ab is fine. Yeah. Everyone loves Ab. It's two letters. It's easy to pronounce. Even the foreigners can say it.
The foreigners.
The foreigners.
Okay.
So you're still at it somewhere on the east coast of the United States?
Yeah, trying to survive. Having somewhat of a difficulty right now, but I'm still got my head slightly above water, just about, before I sink down into oblivion.
How's your health?
Very good. That's the one thing. I've been health total fanatic for 35 years. So,
do you eat a particular diet?
I eat what became, I mean, I've been doing it for 20 years now, but basically was what is now called the paleo diet, which is more protein and fat than it was most people thought was healthy. And I started doing that like 20, 25 years ago. I was introduced to it before it was called the paleo diet. And there was a couple of different people spouting it. And I worked at the health food store at the time, so I got exposed to it in one of these guys' talks. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. It makes a little bit of sense. So I started doing that. And
that served you well.
It's done me very, very well. Yeah, I don't take any medications whatsoever, nothing. And I'm over 60 years old. I don't take even aspirin.
Is that a meat diet? Is that meat and fat, did you say?
It's higher protein. It's the one I did was roughly 30% fat, 30% protein, and 40% carbs. Mm-hmm. And it was by a guy called Barry Sears, I believe, if I'm. And then there was another one. There was the Pritikin diet, which was, I think it was a Pritikin, something we're getting with P anyway. But it was a much higher protein diet, which I tried briefly, but I didn't like that. It was like you're eating, basically just eating meat most of the time, which didn't suit me at all. I like a lot of vegetables and fruit. And
so the paleo allows for that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's lots of fruit, a fibrous fruit, and lots of vegetables, lots of greens.
But you eat some meat and some fat?
Oh, yeah. I eat beef, mostly fish, actually, but some beef. And animal fat or vegetable oils as well, like olive oil, things like that.
All right. And,
This isn't really
a diet show. I just wanted to see how you were, but
My health is great. I do weights. I do Tai Chi. I do yoga. Yeah. I do a lot of cycling. I run a mile 3 times a week.
Just a mile?
It's only a mile, but you have to do it pretty fast.
Yeah.
Fast for me anyway. It's not, you know, it might not be really fast, but it's fast enough for me. It gets me. And I use this altitude mask. You wear this mask, which restricts your airflow when you're doing it. Yeah, so it's like you're training at, I'm at sea level, but it's like training at 3,000 feet, and you can put these different filters in, and you can go up to, I believe it's 16,000 feet. It's made for people who are going into a high altitude environment, like military personnel and things like that. But I'm doing it at the lowest level. I bought it just to try it out, and it works really well. It really helps you. What it does is it makes you breathe really heavily, and it develops all your core muscles in which are all central to. I don't know if you know about the Pilates exercise system.
Not really. I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's all about the core muscle groups in your abdomen.
Yeah.
Getting a good workout via this Pilates thing. But you get the same thing with this. If you do this ultra, you're really trying to suck in air because you've got this mask on restricting your airflow. And the idea is the same as the Pilates. It's going to strengthen your core abdominal muscles by making them work extensively much harder than they normally would, even when you're running. So it sounds extreme, but it's not as extreme as it sounds, really.
I'm getting tired just talking about it.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people might. Well, how's the weather up there? I can't figure out how the hell you stand it. You must wear long pants and sweaters most of the year.
I love Americans. Because you get none of our media, therefore none of our information. You have no idea. Well, I just shoveled the driveway. How's that?
Really?
I'm joking.
Yeah,
it's actually the temperature has been over 85 for the last 2 or 3 months. It's been pretty hot here. It's been outrageously hot here. I'm not really complaining, but. Compared to last year, we didn't have too many. We only had 2 or 3 days over 85, I would say.
Oh, it's been really.
You sound like you have an Australian accent. I know I asked before, but you are in America, so you.
I'm in the southeast.
Fahrenheit or Celsius yourself for your own.
I use Fahrenheit usually. It's been the last 2 months. It's been up in the 90s, the mid 90s. To with the heat index stuff, it's 100 degrees. Just cooled off in the last couple of days. It's a lot of humidity.
Today it was about, I would say with the humidex, it was about 100 here today. It was very hot.
It was hotter than it. That's crazy. That's the reverse. It's been cooler down here.
Yeah. I guess the jet stream is stuck. So it's been pretty hot up here. We've had a very hot summer for Toronto. Toronto's right on the border most of the Canadians live right within 10 or 20 miles of the border anyway, so we get whatever your northern states get for the most part. We've had hot weather. The only thing really new here in Toronto, we've had a lot of American-style psychological operations, or what I call HR, hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real, another... hashtag I'm using is NDNGH, no one dies, no one got hurt. And so we're trying to start a couple hashtags up here. Not really catching on, but maybe something you could highlight in your next newsletter. I know you do a newsletter. I know you're one of the very few people that talk about 9/11 as the military media hoax that it was. And you put out a newsletter once a week or so. I do receive it. I have linked to it once in a while. And it's a pretty good idea, because I know you also have a blog on the Google servers, on Blogspot.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how long that's going to last. I got three on there, actually.
I was going to say, you're at risk of being eliminated. I'm on the others.
I'm on the verge. I start copying. I've got a specific, as you know, a 9/11 blog, and
that's the one I subscribe to.
And I need to start copying everything in there, the whole the HTML text and everything, putting them on another blog in there and not publish it. So it's like a backup archive within the Google system. under a different name. And then and then keeping hard copies for myself in text form of the main ones. I've got too many, I think, to copy them all, but the main ones, like the I was just looking at the Richard Hall one the other day, and, you know, that's like four parts, and I was going back and looking at it again, and I said, well, damn, this is pretty good stuff. I didn't realize I could write. It's not a bad little summary. And the reason I looked at it was because of Morgan Reynolds. He's just done a post there with about a Judy Woods video. And it's actually, I looked at it, it's the first decent Judy Woods research I've seen, really.
There's good Judy Woods research? Are you kidding me?
Yes. No, I'm not. It's, if you look at the video, if you go to Reynolds' site, she's talking about a plane that crashed, and it was flying at a certain speed, and the tail came off. It had to maneuver. It made these sharp turns, and the tail came off, and the engines came off. And she just basically said, well, this shows that the planes that made all these fancy maneuvers in supposedly on 9/11 couldn't have possibly have done that, and they were going even like were going like faster than this actual plane, this real plane.
Well, the website for Morgan Reynolds is called nomoregames.net.
Yeah.
And I think I've. Can you hear this video plan?
I can hear something crashing in the background. Yeah.
I think this is the video you're discussing.
Flight 587.
Yeah.
Out of Manhattan, two months and a day after the 9/11 event, same year. Do you remember it crashed? Everybody thought it was another terrorist event. It took off right behind a big Japanese airliner, and it was a little bit too close and had turbulence. That wasn't so much the problem as the less experienced pilot had learned that you make the rudder go to get out of turbulence. And he went, you know, hard left, hard right, you know, hard left. And he tore off the tail of the airplane.
And now, is this the one that crashed in Queens, allegedly?
I believe so, yeah.
Do you believe this was a real plane and a real plane crash? Because I
don't know.
I don't think I do believe that. Because it just came off hot off the heels of 9/11. It seems kind of crazy.
If it did, I guess all she's saying is if it did, she assumes it did exist.
Okay.
But if it did exist, then she's saying that the physics of it is impossible. If the planes on 9/11 existed, then why didn't they, you know, performing various maneuvers, why didn't they, the tail...
I see what you're saying. Let's listen to a little more, because you...
It was just with Air Forces. They're at about 2,400 feet. About twice the height of the World Trade Center. Not only that, as the pieces started coming down, the engines were torn off the plane. What does that tell you about a plane supposedly going twice the speed and banking a tight, tight turn into the towers?
It couldn't do it.
Exactly. And the best evidence, we have a demonstration right there.
American Airlines Flight 587.
Yep.
Provides more evidence that particular maneuver, if they had tried it, they would have sheared off the tail section.
This guy was just making the tail, you know, really a really hard turn. And
by the way, this guy she's talking to is a Canadian conspiracy guy, Richard Serrett. He is the known gatekeeper. Okay. So he's not going to be explaining anything about anything. He's just going to be there to obscure and create misdirection to the 9/11 event. So he's definitely not going to help.
Yeah. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I just listened to, you know, what she said as far as we've got so far. And, you know, it's a good point. I mean, if you don't believe the plane existed, I guess it's not a good point. But if it didn't exist, then... Why would you prove that the so-called flights of 9/11 actually existed? It doesn't prove that, you know, it's like they're in the same boat. It's all of these fake planes. But, you know, compared to her other research, I think it's at least she's using standard. It actually reveals something to me. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still listening.
Yeah. It reveals something about her psychology. Because she's incapable of looking at video stuff and seeing if it's real or not. She doesn't have any, but she's basically relying on physics and the physicality of something to make a conclusion about this flight, what is it, 587, I think you said.
Yeah,
but that's her general mindset, is you can see a lot from that. She's saying, oh yeah, because she's got some sort of training in physics and engineering, so she looks at that and says, oh, well, the tail came off the plane. How come the same thing didn't happen to Flight 11 or Flight 175 or flight into the Pentagon? So I just thought it was interesting. So anyway, I started looking at this, the Richard Hall thing, because I replied, because I got banned from the Reynolds site, so I had to log in under a different name and make my comments. Yeah.
I'm just looking here. Flight, I'm just trying to find Cruise Forum, see if they have anything. Oh, here we go. They do have a thread on Cruise Forum, American Airlines Flight 587.
Yeah, I never checked there.
Just looking at it now. That is one plane crash that I'm sure got almost no research, only because it was hot on the heels of 9/11, 2001.
Yeah. Well, I doubt if there's any. Is there any live video of it? I don't know if anybody shot
in live video. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh wait, here we go. They have something on Let's Troll forums. Oh, here we go. Here's a documentary on it.
7th, 2001. Al-Qaeda operatives hijack and crash 4 U.S. commercial planes, bringing down the World Trade Center towers and damaging the Pentagon. Just 2 months later, it appears that the unthinkable happens again.
Oh, we have a little station identification here.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yes, we do have a donation model that we have going here, by the way, OBS, on fakeologist.com, where people are welcome to subscribe to the website for a mere $1.19 or whatever they feel is appropriate per month, and they can do it through PayPal.
You got it hooked up with any crypto stuff?
No, I don't really understand crypto too well. I try to open a wallet here and there, but it just seemed like too much work, so I...
It is tough to get the hang of it. I had the same trouble myself trying to do it. The people who've done it who swear by it, so...
I have a lot of credit cards in my wallet, and they're hard enough to keep track of, so I'm just not into another currency right now, and obviously a currency is only as good as the other people in the world that accept it. Obviously there's no point in accumulating wealth in something that it's just too much for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing anything about it. I'm still going to use the money system that everyone else is using for now.
Fake money system.
Yeah, well, I know that's one thing you say, but I know that I can use it to buy groceries, and that's pretty important, so we all agree on the use of it in society. So unless someone wants to start a new currency and convince everyone that it's necessary. But I think the world is too busy trying to find new pay systems for the existing money supply. There's so many competing pay systems, Apple Pay, Google Pay, this Pay, Samsung Pay, everything Pay.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Look at that. I just woke up my smartphone. My smartphone heard the word Google, and now she's gone crazy.
Oh God.
If anyone has any illusions that your smartphone isn't listening to you, you're crazy.
Yeah, I've heard stories of people just talking and then the next minute their smartphone, they'll just mention a word, and then their smartphone.
Well, it's looking for OK Google, and it wakes right up. Now, you can tell it not to wake up if you say OK Google, but I can't remember how to turn it off. I barely remember how to turn it on, but I know it's always listening to everything you say. So if it's listening for OK Google, that means it's listening to everything else you're saying.
Yeah.
It might
even be listening where it's switched off. I don't know. I've heard stories.
Well, if the power's off, I doubt it is. But if the phone is on and has juice in it, it's listening.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Looking at
the Clues Forum thread, they do have a YouTube on Flight 587, and there's very little information, very few images. It's almost a forgotten...
You cannot say it's fake by examination of the video, because there doesn't appear to be any. So it's all... it's hearsay, it's verbal or text hearsay or not. I mean, you just don't... I don't know if there was any... I guess there was...
Well, as Simon says, and we like Simon for a lot of his work, he said in this YouTube video on the History Channel, there are only two images of the event, one at 12 seconds and one at 7 minutes and 36 seconds, and they last a few seconds. There's no real footage of the real of the event on the ground. It's almost like they don't bother portraying it. Now, of course, this is already 18 years ago. Not everyone. There were cell phone video cameras back in the day. There were probably more handy cams, Sony handy cams. I think maybe I had one. So way far fewer people actually.
Sure. Yeah. So it was unlikely to have been. Yeah.
So it's far more believable that nobody filmed it because. Yeah. Probably fewer people.
You'd have to check. I mean, I guess the pilot would have died, and then if there was any power and the crew and any passengers, I mean, you'd have to actually go and research and see if you could actually figure out whether they actually existed as people or not, if the whole thing was a farce. Who knows? But anyway, Judy Wood, I thought that's the closest she's got to any, you know, if you make the assumption that the flight was real, then it's the closest she's got to any sort of halfway decent 9/11 research, in my opinion, anyway. I mean, the rest of her stuff is just total out-and-out speculation based on fake photographs and videos. I got involved in that, and then I said something on that forum. I made a comment, and Morgan Reynolds said, well, you still know now nobody's ever proved that the Richard Hall hologram theory is fake, and so I said, well, it's real.
It's harder to prove a negative. He hasn't really been convincing enough. It really is a valid theory, I think.
Well, absolutely, It's all it proves is, you know, if you know anything about, as you do and I do, and obviously someone like Simon does, if you make a movie of a plane flying around and you make it entirely inside a computer, you can toggle around and get various perspectives and reproduce like 50 or 100 different videos of the same event from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And so if you subsequently prove, like Richard Hall tries to do, and say, well, all of the flights of these videos match up, it proves that they were all made on the same computer in the same software program. But actually, of course, as I show, they don't match up. But even, like I say, if he did prove that they did match up, it doesn't mean anything, except that it doesn't prove 100% that they were real videos. It just proves that they could just as easily have been made inside the same software program. But Hall doesn't, he either ignores that or he doesn't have any comprehension of it. I don't know.
That's just an old rabbit trail that I think we should all exit out of permanently and not even give it any energy. I think others agree that it was just a complete fabrication. It was a movie portrayed as real, a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real, or no one died, no one got hurt, for the most part, at least. And when we go down these very narrow rabbit trails, back alleys, we go nowhere. We're arguing with ourselves or with people that are there not to find the truth.
Yeah, if there ultimately is any, I mean, people will get caught in it, and they're going to stay there. Like Morgan Reynolds, he's convinced, and Fetzer and people, they're all convinced that they were holograms. Even, you know, there's no nobody really knows if there's any sort of technology that would actually allow a moving holograph projection outside in daylight to be filmed from a dozen different perspectives.
We've already just said it's unlikely that there was anyone set up to film anything in a downtown area.
Exactly.
Media, media, of course, is at the hub and the center of the fakery. That's the whole push of this, and we're talking about it 6 years later after I started looking into it, and I'm sure you have been doing your investigation for at least as long.
I guess I started, the bell rang. I'd been looking at it before, but then I started looking seriously at some videos, and I think it was 2008 where the other shoe dropped or the penny dropped or whatever. And I said, aha, the videos of the planes are fake. And that was the first thing to go for me. So that was, 10 years ago? By the end of 2008, I'd pretty much figured out that not only were the planes fake, but the tower collapse stuff was fake as well. And then after that, it was the victim report and everything. You shall find out that the victims are fake as well. And then, you know, then you're really completely out in La La Land, as far as most people are concerned.
Yes, absolutely.
That's where I've continued.
Well, are in La La Land. We've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Have there been many people joining you and agreeing with you over the last year, or
No, none. I tried to form. I had a local. It wasn't. Focused just on 9/11. It was called the Freedom Network, and I did emails and stuff and got people to come to actual meetings. We'd occasionally get into 9/11, but even the people that understood that it was an inside job, they couldn't get their head around September clues, which was interesting. Amazing. To me. At some point, I basically, I don't push it on anybody anymore. I'll be very surprised. I guess I'll be pleasantly surprised if I actually meet somebody in the flesh who says, September clues. Totally. 100%. I understand it. But those sort of people are going to be few and far between, in my experience anyway. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it happens.
No, I have to agree with you there. I think the chances... They also are going to probably diminish with time, the chances of anyone.
You'd think that it would grow, but...
Do you think the planners of the 9/11 hoax knew the trajectory and the chances of it spreading, the awareness spreading over time, or do you think they were quite convinced that they had nothing to worry about in the future?
I don't know. The thing that changed everything, I believe, it wasn't enough for just the texting thing. It was the whole advent of YouTube mm-hmm. that really did it, because you could post videos and people ahead of Simon were posting stuff that was just amazing. There was some amazing stuff coming out on 9/11. I mean, good and bad, but it was the visual record thing that you could actually look at and examine, which I believe was the real foot in the door, which opened it up much quicker. I mean, normally it would, you know, like JFK or the moon landings, it's like 40 or 50 years before people, a lot of people get quickly persuaded that it was fabricated events. But the 9/11 thing, I think, in general, seems to have happened. The holes got poked in it a lot faster because of the advent of YouTube. But YouTube, at least initially, seems to have been private, you know, just a bunch of video enthusiasts who needed space and created some sort of site for you to be able to post your cat videos or whatever. And then, of course, at some point it gets taken over by Google, and that's the beginning of the end right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's just enough space in there and enough breathing space. And I think that the powers that be maybe underestimated how quickly that something like YouTube, once it had become a popular site, how quickly it would grow and start influencing the way people thought about the so-called conspiracy theories. You know, I mean, all of them. I mean, JFK, the moon landings, 9/11, God knows what else. So I think the visual impact thing of YouTube was underestimated. And now
it's all but shut down, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, now it's...
For our stuff.
Google is basically, it was and is the CIA and the NSA, and it has been right from the inception. I mean, it was funded initially by them, the same as Facebook. And obviously, YouTube's a part of a subsidiary of Google or Alphabet, whatever it is these days. So it's no different now from CNN or NBC or Fox or CBS. It's all basically, it's like what Frank Zappa said 30, 40, 50 years ago. He said about the network news, he said this is just the entertainment wing of the military-industrial complex. It's just, that's all it is. I mean, all of these mainstream media, they're just the tip of the iceberg of that military-industrial complex. They're just the propaganda units of them. And now Google is the same thing on the internet and YouTube and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they needed, I mean, they initially they sucked everybody in, was saying, well, it's free. You just open up, you get a free account at Google, a free email, and then you can get your free blog spot. And then you can post your videos for free on YouTube, and Facebook's the same deal. And then at some point they start closing the net, and this is what's happened for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons I would say would possibly be because they were getting worried about the growth of the whole quote unquote conspiracy theory type of posting that goes on that has great, and particularly things like Sandy Hook and everything.
Yeah.
That's become, it's got bigger, not smaller. And then the whole Parkland, Florida thing as well, that really was the nail in the coffin. Even, you know, with people like Alex Jones, who actually never said that it was fake. He never said anything about Sandy Hook. I mean, he had people on there who said it was fake, but he himself... Mm-hmm. He took both sides of the issue. But that sort of thing has made these people, the controllers of which basically the government, the CIA, etc., the people that control these platforms, Google, YouTube, Facebook, that's got them nervous. And They just want to close it all down, close down that sort of space. And that's why Simon got shut down. I mean, Simon's got shut down, one of the earliest. I mean, he was shut down. There must have been other people being shut down around the same time as he was, but that was, oh God, what was it? It must have been 6-9 months ago. He got shut down with no warning whatsoever.
His YouTube channel?
Yeah. You knew that, right? I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, I can't remember.
I thought that's why you. I thought that's why you.
More recent than that.
Well, you could be correct. I know you. You are. You started archiving all of his videos, his 9/11 videos on your own site, which is I'm thankful for because I've had to relink to your site where I'd previously, in some of my blog posts, linked directly to Simon's site, and now I'm on, or to, excuse me, to the YouTube channel of Simon's. Now someone else has reposted September, at least the main body September Clues, the first part of it. On the
He gets back up on his. I'm looking at. I don't know if I think he started his channel again. It's just called Simon Shack.
Or maybe
his backup channel. So he's only got 114 subscribers. And
I think he did mention that he'd got a backup reserve. Up to the time he got banned, he never used the backup channel. So I guess he's.
I'll put that in the show notes of today.
Yeah. Well, there's somebody else who's got has reposted September Clues up there. So, and I guess there's probably other people I'm not even aware of have done the same thing.
But you're right. I have it on FakeTube, I call it. Now, FakeTube is on the automatic/WordPress servers, and they've been deleting Sandy Hoax blogs off their servers. Even though I pay for these servers, perhaps they're in danger. I don't know.
Yeah. It's all.
Anything on someone else's server is at risk. There's just no way around it. Nobody has any quote unquote rights to.
Well, I don't know if you've been thought. I got interested. I got interested. Right around the time there was all this stuff about Alex Jones getting sued by the supposed Sandy Hook victims' parents.
Do you think that was a real lawsuit?
I don't know. I mean, Alex Jones. I started listening to it because I was just curious. I stopped listening to Alex Jones in 2008, because he's basically just he's just what I call a right-wing statist as opposed to the left-wing statists. And one of his moderators, when he used to have these forums, I actually posted on there saying that there were no planes on 9/11, and they immediately banned me. And that was the last time I just completely dismissed Alex Jones for 10 years. I just thought it was a waste of time. But then I got interested again with this whole Sandy Hook thing. So I started going back and looking at his videos while they were still on YouTube. And obviously I believe that the Sandy Hook thing was fake. But then I started listening to his shows about what was happening to him with Sandy Hook and these lawsuits. And he's basically said that the lawsuits themselves, they're not filed properly. They've got these words. They've got misspellings in the actual documents that he's received. He says they're not like really legal lawsuits. He says it's like they're just thrown together, just badly done. So, I mean, you could be right. They might be completely fake lawsuits. He's accepting them as genuine, but he's sort of laughing at me, saying, "Well, this is not like a real lawsuit. I mean, these people can't even spell words properly. What the hell is going on?" He doesn't know. It's sort of an interesting situation. But I lost my point now. I got interested, so I started listening to him. I mean, he's largely a waste of time, but he's obviously these people want to try. But I mean, they've gone after his server. They've taken all his payment processes, or most of his payment processes, away. They've said he can't utilize certain software which he's actually bought and paid for. He's got the owners trying to get him to. I mean, it's really heavy duty. I mean, he's they're really going after him for everything. They're trying to close it, shut down. So, what my point is, yeah, like you said about the. If it's on somebody else's server, then you have no control. He doesn't seem to. He seems to. He's on the point of losing his own servers. I mean, he's got. Unless, you know, I guess you could say it's all a fake. It's all a publicity stunt. But he. I mean, the way he gets worked up about it on air, it seems he's pretty genuine. But maybe he's just a really good actor. I don't know. But it's interesting to watch and.
I think he is a good actor.
It could be. It could be. It could very well be. I don't know anymore. You know, Ab, the older I get, the less I think I know.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think we all get a little more humble.
Yeah. I don't, you know, it's a lot of this stuff I don't know anymore. I just tend to disbelieve everything. And then maybe it's a little, you know, over a period of time, you know, I let a little bit in and say, oh, well, maybe that's true. But then I'm always on edge. I don't know in the end. A lot of this new stuff, I don't know what to make of. I mean, the Parkland stuff I thought seems fake for various reasons. The Sandy Hook stuff seems to be fake. I guess it could be real, but it just seems really fake to me. A lot of the stuff that I've run into just... on idle research without even going into it in any depth.
Yeah, staged, yeah.
I don't go into a lot of it. Yeah. A lot of it I just don't have time for anymore. I mean, it takes too much time to go into in any real heavy detail and weigh the options and decide whether somebody is just a gatekeeper or a shill or whatever you want to call them, a government agent. I just don't have the time for it anymore. I'd rather listen to music or watch like an old George Carlin routine or a Monty Python routine and just have a good laugh, you know. or go work out or, you know, do something, eat some good food, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you're young enough or smart enough at least to have hooked up to the Discord server here. I don't know if you've ever heard of Discord before.
No, I'd never heard of it. I got your email and said, oh, well, I'll give this a try. I really didn't expect to be able to get into it. And I got this, it's an older smartphone. It's not one of the latest ones, so it doesn't give me the whole Google shake down every 5 minutes, as you seem to be getting.
That's funny.
It still works reasonably well, and so I'm sort of surprised that I was able to do this.
Good that you're here, because we have a pretty active audio community that talks about the things that you like to talk about, so... it's going to be very easy for you to connect, and you can leave messages in this area very simply from your smartphone. And
I did that. Okay. I tried to send you a text message usually over Discord? And I couldn't. But I tried a couple of times, three, maybe half a dozen times to send
I see a message from you. I see something.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the most recent.
It says, yes, let's do an audio test sometime. I'm still trying to figure this place out. Do I need to be in a
place? Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I got it.
That message.
That's a direct message.
Yeah. I tried to send the same message previously, and it just didn't go through.
All right. Well, we have different text windows here. We have text channels and voice channels. So you're now in the audio chat live stream, which actually means that you're being recorded. And you are broadcasting around the world on fakeologist.com/radio3live.
Good Lord. That's too much.
And we have a number of people that have joined the room. I'm not sure why they joined, because they could listen to the live stream. But, of course,
it's just as easy, I suppose, for them to jump in the live stream and listen in with their microphones muted. As you can see, we have Phil, Rachel, Rolo, and Velicet. They're all here.
Okay.
Listening in, and they can all chime in. Because I'm going to, unfortunately, it's a school night for me, so I'm going to have to step away. This was a test call.
I have to go as well. I've got to get up.
Lamborn Fraser. Work. Can I ask a question? For
that's Rolo. Rolo.
Are you still giving Jim?
That's right.
Rolo. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Are you still giving Jim Lamborn Fraser?
I'm sorry, you'll have to speak.
You know Rolo?
He's still giving.
I've seen the name, man.
Are you giving Jim
a hard time? And I might have talked with Rolo before a long time ago. I'm not sure.
Years ago. Are you still giving Jim Fetzer a hard time?
Jim, I try. I send him my, I've got this this blog that I send out every week, and I know he's on the list. Something came up. He had a blog post. He's got a new blog site, and that was it. He posted, I remember now, he did a post about a guy, John Lear, a pilot, who's with the Pilots for 9/11 Truth, I believe.
Yeah.
And in it, this post from John Lear actually surprised me, came out and said that the videos of the planes are all fabrications. And it was like, I did a double check. I read that on Fetzer's site. And I said, well, wait a minute. What does this mean? Does this mean that Fetzer agrees with John Lear that the plane videos are fabrications? Or is this just Fetzer didn't actually read the whole of the John Lear original post and posted it without reading the whole thing? So I did actually get into a conversation with Fetzer briefly on there, but he basically denied, I don't know, he sort of obfuscated, you know, I tried to give him a hard time, but it's on his own blog site, so I probably had minimal effect on his mindset. I didn't really expect to, you know, I mean, it was half in jest anyway, my whole post was half in jest. It was like, it's like Fetzer can't even be bothered to read guy he's posting, he's ignoring one of the main points that John Lear makes, but the videos are fabrications. And he actually said they're fabrications, and this can be forensically proved, which stunned me. But
John Lear was still alive.
John Lear, Lear, is that the guy? Yeah.
Was that who you're talking about?
Yes.
I guess he's still going.
Yeah, if you check back on Fetzer, he's not the radio show, but he's got an. If you Google Jim Fetzer,
one of the things I want to show. This is a page from a military manual talking about stuff that they would like to.
This is John Lair.
This is called Airborne Holocaust.
This is. Got 2.5 million views. 9/11 planes hoax is the YouTube channel. I'll post this in the show notes. There's show notes there. 9,000
so maybe
comments
maybe
on there. Wow, interesting how YouTube leaves some stuff up, huh?
Yeah, I never followed up on his the article that Fetzer posted, so. I should have followed up to see what Lear was actually on about in a video. So he may be, I suspect that he's going to say it was a hologram. It wouldn't surprise me, but it didn't sound like, it sounded like he was saying that the videos are fabrications. I mean, he said that 100% fabrications. I think he more or less stated that in that article that Fetzer posted. But I'm not exactly sure what Lear thinks. He'd have to
do some research on that. I don't know if he's controlled as well in the whole.
Yeah.
All these people are definitely on the on the payroll or unwittingly or wittingly, that they're not contributing to the understanding that you're one of the very few people in the whole wide world that really comes to the conclusion that I do, and it just means you're in a very elite category as far as I'm concerned. We are both in the elite category, and plus all the members here at fakeologist.com.
You think most of your members are on the same page as well, you'd say?
I think like so. That. I really do, yeah. I think so.
Like, Rollo, for example, maybe.
Oh, yeah, Rollo is definitely a big 9/11 Simon Schachter leader, no doubt.
And I see as a couple of other names. I know Fast Value I've seen is in the list of people.
Yeah, of course. Are you there, Fast Value? Can you speak to One Born Free? He just took off the mute on his mic. Go ahead, Fast Value, if you can hear us. No, nothing.
I think I've spoken with, or I've emailed.
Yeah,
Mr.
he's
Fast.
A great guy, too. Very interesting guy. So we'll have to have him back.
Okay.
Guys, can you hear me? Adding a video at the moment, so there could be problems.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rachel wants to ask one. Rachel wants to ask a question. Unmute Rachel and ask One Born Free your question.
Yeah, Rachel is a newer fakeologist who joined the site recently.
Okay.
She's in Liverpool.
She wants to date me.
Well, sure.
Are you from London?
Huh?
Are you from London?
Hello. Am I from London? Maybe, maybe not.
One Born Free doesn't like to give out his geolocation. I know he's on the east.
I've lived close to London at various times of my life, yeah.
Yeah. And,
but I'm actually from Mars.
Yeah, I was trying to geolocate One Born Free's accent ever since I started interviewing him.
It's
I thought
mix,
he was an Aussie.
It's a huge mix. It's been all over the place. I'm not even sure where I'm from anymore.
But you're currently on the east coast of the United States in the south.
Yes, sir. I'm close to the coast in the southeast. It's been hot and heavy down here, and it's just cooled off the last couple of days. We've got a little bit of relief, some lower humidity air. I'm not sure how long it's going to last. Hopefully, it's going to... Oh, yeah, did you hear... I don't know if you keep up with something like the Farmer's Almanac ad.
No.
Where they just came out... this will probably affect you worse than it's going to affect me, but they're saying that it's going to be... I mean, they already predicted a super hot summer. Now they're saying it's going to be a really cold winter, and it's going to set in early.
Well, you know, I think they can say whatever they want because I don't see any websites or any media reporting in on how well the almanac did even last season or last year or the last 5 years. So they really their pronouncements are really just irrelevant generalities. It's actually the same to me as reading your horoscope, and it's completely useless information. It's useless information.
I just mentioned it because I'd forgotten all about it, but it must have been early.
People only tend to remember things when it's right. If it's wrong, throw it out.
Early this year, I had a friend tell me he was moving out of state. He was moving to Missouri to start his own complete outside the system, off the grid place where he was going to live, and. He told me that he just mentioned the Farmer's Almanac, said that the summer was going to be really freaking hot, and that's exactly what we got. So I thought, well, that's sort of impressive. Well, you know.
Yeah, but you're in the south. It's always hot down there.
Oh no, but this was hot. This was hotter than it's usually is, and so that impressed the heck out of me because I've been thinking about that forecast all summer, and then they came out. I hadn't checked. I mean, I didn't check the Farmer's Almanac site. I just saw it on somewhere, like Yahoo News or something, and saying that Farmer's Almanac is now saying it's going to get really freaking cold, and it's going to get colder earlier than it would normally. So, but you could be, you know, it's not 100%. It's like any of these things. Sure. They don't have a perfect record. No one can accurately predict the weather or the stock market or anything else. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
They can do it. They maybe get it right sometimes.
I'm going to have to leave now, but we have a lot of people here that I'm sure would love to talk to you because you are a very good new voice when it comes to 9/11 research. So maybe you can hang around a little bit. I'm sure we'll really take over. I got 10:39 in the PM.
Fast Valley, actually joined us.
I'm not sure Fars is coming through.
No, I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah, his he keeps coming and going. But One Born Free, we will be convening around 9/11 or maybe 9/9 or 9/10. There's 3 days there. One's a Sunday, so 9/9 is Sunday, so maybe more people will come out, but if you could... Well, I'm just saying September 9th is the Sunday.
Okay, all right.
I'm more likely to be around at that date than on the weeknight, but if you want to keep your Discord up and handy, so maybe come back on that day, or anytime I send you a message, it should come into your email box. If not, I have your email.
But we if you could send me a reminder, maybe, but I'll try and remember that date, the 9th of September.
Yeah, that's a Sunday.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to have more of an open house where, similar to this, you can drop in and just say hi. Nothing too formal. We can discuss our favorite psychological operation.
Okay. Have you talked with Simon or Hoy recently? I know they were. Simon came up over to the States on.
Yeah, I think he's still here in North America.
Really?
And I don't know where, either Minnesota or Arizona. I think that's where Hoy hangs about. But yeah, okay. You should try and hook up. He said he can't come to Toronto, where I am, but maybe you can.
I did ask him. So I said if you're in the anywhere, if you get down to the southeast or anything, but he said it's not on his schedule. So
yeah,
he's limited, financially with the amount of travel he can do, and he's got this whole Tycho's deal on, and it's very important to him. So he's understandably concentrating on that.
Yes.
Although I don't understand any of it. I've tried, but it's above my pay grade, really.
Yeah, I know. He said, me too. It's above my interest level more than anything. He says that it's easy, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. I have tried to understand some of the concepts, but it's...
Yeah. I'm not too crazy about looking into it, so honestly, it's...
You're a flat earther, aren't you?
I'm a baller skeptic, I'll call myself.
Okay, all right.
If we are convinced that 9/11 has proven that you can fool the whole world about one big topic, then that means that there has to be other topics by extension that you can be fooled on. So, that to me, that proves that the shape of the Earth or the nature of the solar system isn't probably what we're being told. What we're told is not probably correct in some way. I just don't know which way.
So, I see.
But yeah, definitely don't be a stranger. Now that we know that you can connect quite easily with the Discord, which is great, you just proved that it's a pretty good platform.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw what I can't believe I'm doing it on this little cheap smartphone I got.
It's fantastic. Working. Yeah.
Provided I can figure out how to do it again, I don't know how I got in to where I got. I got into the lobby. I think it still says.
Yeah,
lobby.
We have a number of rooms that you can.
Yeah, I'm on the lobby.
Can join. You were in the lobby, and I moved you into the live stream. I can do that as a moderator. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So you're in the live stream now. So now we're chatting away. So that's how we broadcast. But I'm going to pass out now, but you can stay a bit if you want. Farce Value, Phil B., Rachel, Rolo, Velaset, they all might want to talk to you.
Yeah, well, thanks for talking with me and setting this up, Ab. And I'm going to stay for another, I guess, till 11, another 15 minutes. I have to get up 4 or 5 tomorrow morning, so I need to get some sleep
too.
At some point.
Yeah, me too. I have to get up a little early, too. So start my day in the big city here in Toronto.
I will talk with you again, hopefully.
Yeah,
on,
fantastic. Right. And your voice is coming through perfectly. It's better than Skype.
I'm sure we were always fading
in and out.
Yeah.
That's a great testament to the server.
Yeah. I hope it holds out, stays the same.
Yeah. All right, guys, take over and jump in here and talk to One Born Free.
All right, keep it real. Hey, Ab, before you go, keep it real. I'm uploading.
That's a Clues Chronicle thing. I don't use that one.
We'll keep it real anyway. And we've got Velocet here. He's a behind the scenes guy, and Velocet, I'm sure he's got a question for OBF. Velocet, okay. Are you there? Can you open your mic? But it's good that even though all these years, Jim Fetzer, he made it to Fox News twice.
But he
was never honest. Not honest. You were mentioning Judy Wood before, and that was interesting for me, her book. This space weapons or magical weapons, rubbish.
Well, I guess we don't know.
Here we go, OBF, Velocet.
Yeah.
Continue your point, and then Velocet will talk.
Okay, yeah, we don't really know. I mean, the military's always got this stuff up its sleeve that keeps off the shelf, so it's possible that these weapons actually do exist, but I still don't see that means that they were used to bring down the World Trade Center. I mean, as the photographs and the videos are all fake of those events, so you cannot deduce from fake videos what type of what was used, what methodology was used to bring them down. That's all I'd say. And Judy Wood's not, she's got no, obviously got no skill in looking at photo forensics, and so she doesn't seem to understand to this day that the videos from 9/11 that show the tower collapses are all fake. And she probably never will. The videos cannot prove conclusively that towers were destroyed by a type of weapon which may or may not exist. It may exist secretly. It might be a secret weapon. I mean, I keep hearing about these things, these direct energy weapons supposedly starting forest fires in California and stuff. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, so they may, I may just reply to what Rollo said. I mean, they may actually, direct energy weapons may actually exist. I don't know. That's all I can say on it. Is Fellow Steps still there?
I am here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. It's still evening where I am.
I'm just used to saying whatever, I do all my greetings in local time. I have no idea what time it is every other place in the world.
Right, okay.
And then there comes a lot of conflict when I say, were you on last night or this morning? And people,
yeah. It's just timeless, right?
It's all
the same time.
I didn't have the pleasure of listening to your interview with Ab. I've only just joined in the last 5 minutes, so I don't want to ask any questions
It was just catching up. I mean, basically, all that happened was, I guess we retouched base on the fact that we both still believe, or after all these years, we still believe that the Simon Shack analysis of the events, the so-called events of 9/11, is correct. And we laughed at each other because we both feel like we're nutcases in this world, as I'm sure anybody else who believes the same thing does. You get confronted with all these other theories, or whether they're the conventional or a standard conspiracy theory, that it was Saudi or whatever hijackers and the whole official story and the rest of it.
Yeah, I think most people on here have gotten used to the idea that they're going to be looked at as nutcases. Because I mean, it doesn't just end with 9/11, unfortunately.
Of course not. No, it goes on and on. Once, because that opens the door. I mean, that's like the foot in the door. It was the major one for me, and then that was shortly followed by the moon landing stuff. And then it just was the Kennedy thing, of course, and then you just start going deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole.
And well, it's interesting that you mention it's a door, because have you looked into synchromysticism and some of the symbology of 9/11?
Briefly, yes. I mean, I'm not really into... I know there's a lot of Masonic symbolism of the actual towers themselves, and... there's various facets to it that I'm not really up on, I'd say. I mean, I know there's a lot of people alleging a lot of different forms of symbolism, but I'm not exactly of the mind. It's the same with the numerology thing. I mean, it's there, I've seen it, and but I don't know what to think of it. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Does that mean that it's clues to the perpetrators, or it means something on a great, on a bigger level about what's going to happen in the future? Or I'm not really sure. So, why did you ask? What are you specifically referring to?
Well, I'm just curious if you think maybe there could be maybe some of that stuff wasn't put there so much as some sort of secret code, but more so sort of in celebration of or in tribute to what was actually happening. It's a lot to cover in the next 10 minutes, but let's just say there are a lot of aspects to 9/11 that can be seen throughout Hollywood, and I don't just mean premonitions that a plane was going to fly into a tower, but... the whole 33 years those towers were standing, there's been a lot of stuff in fictional media that relates quite closely to the whole story of 9/11. So,
Once
you explore some of those components, you start to wonder maybe if some of those things weren't put there to sort of allow people to see what was going on. And, I mean, maybe since you said you've covered the moon landing, when you look at the moon lander, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't really go any further than looking at the, scrutinizing the actual originals or supposed original footage of it. And that footage is a fabrication. Now, what that actually means, I mean, you can go anywhere from that. That means for me that, to me, it means that there were no actual landings. It was all just a big psyop to impress or scare the Soviet Union. But it may well go way beyond that. I don't know. Some people claim that they did actually land, but it was all secret. So they put all these fake videos out or fake films out as some sort of cover. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really...
Yeah, they were trying to cover up the alien moon base they discovered there.
Yes, I've seen that stuff as well, and it could be true. I don't know. Let's assume that that is true, that it was covering up some sort of alien base, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know where to go with that.
I'm not suggesting that that's true, but let me run a theory by you. When I look at the photos of the moon lander, which you can find easily on Google Images in nice high def, because a lot of those photos were taken in analog film with a Hasselblad camera, and you can download and see nice high quality copies. And when I look at the moon lander, I've come to see now what to me is a laughable joke. I can see. Basically curtain rods, I can see paper, I can see sticky tape,
tin foil.
And that's besides what most people will have you staring at crosshairs in a camera or dust on the foot pads, and that seems like a bit of a distraction when you come to look at it and go, this looks like something that a bunch of teenagers could build. So The question to me is, like a lot of people will have you believe that, oh, well, NASA didn't have a big budget to fake all this stuff, you know. They didn't have the time. They were in a rush to get it out and take the photos, so that's why it looks so terrible. But perhaps to these people who have an unlimited source of money, maybe they were intentionally making it look a little silly so that some of us could figure it out. Are you open to that, that idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's a worthwhile speculation. There's a guy, that sort of reminds me, there's a guy, he's either Danish or Swedish or maybe Norwegian, I'm not sure, Ole Damegaard. Have you heard of that guy?
Yes, I'm aware of that. He's done a lot of work on the sort of fake small terror attacks, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure what your opinion of him is, but what you're saying brings up a point that he made. That he said somebody got in contact with him at one point and said, you're doing good work, you're on the right track, but you're missing a lot of the stuff. And Damegaard said, well, what am I missing? He says, well, these people who do this, they leave clues at the scene of the crime that point to where the next one's going to happen. And they're deliberate clues, and they do that because of their belief system. They believe that if they tell you that they're going to do something in advance, then it lets them off the hook. They don't, but they believe in all this karma stuff, and somehow they believe if they have evidence in your face that they you know, in the current whatever it is terror attack, there's a shape of, for example, in the Las Vegas thing, there's something about the shape of the blood stain around the guy's head matches the county in Florida where the Parkland shooting occurred, in his theory. Now, I don't know how true that is, that blood stain around the guy's head did actually match the shape of the county in Florida. Is it Largo County or something in Florida where this Parkland shooting occurred? But the point is that Damegaard's saying that they leave these clues at the scene of these crimes, or the fabricated scenes of these crimes. And so maybe that's the same way what you're talking about, that they say, well, you know, we'll put this joke moon landed together. It's obviously fake. And, you know, that lets us off the hook for making the fake, because it should be obvious to anybody with a lick of sense that
That there was, like, I mean, back in my early conspiracy days, I was aware of that theory that, it was some sort of karmic thing to actually have to do that to let themselves on the hook or put the blame on someone else. But it makes me wonder if we know these things are a complete charade and no one's actually getting hurt in these fake events, then what exactly do they need to let themselves off the hook for? Like, I mean, wouldn't that only be required if they were actually hurting or injuring people?
That's true. Which means
if you could look at a hoax event and see the clues to the next one, and you were able to accurately predict it, so you understood whatever language they were using to communicate these events, don't you think that would be an exciting thing?
Yeah.
Did you start picking them correctly?
Yeah. Well, Damegaard claims to have picked several. What, Copenhagen, I think, and I think the Charlie Hebdo one, perhaps. I'm not exactly sure, but he says he's picked a few of the ones in the most recent years. But that's something I'd never considered. You're absolutely right. Why would they need to give a clue if it's completely fake and there are no actual real victims? It doesn't make sense.
So, you can see how maybe putting the clues to the next event is kind of like a bit of a celebration of the script.
It's redundant.
Like a callback in an episode of television where you like to reference other TV shows or other episodes of things that have happened.
But then doesn't the same logic apply to the Moonlander thing? I mean, why would they bother making it, because no one was killed. I guess, well, unless you're going to say the astronauts who were killed before they actually accomplished the so-called moon landing, the three of them were killed on the launch pad. If they didn't actually die, I don't know. But if they did die, I haven't really thought about this. So I'm thinking off the top of my head, so I really have no idea.
Oh, well, it's good that you're open-minded to thinking about it, and I think maybe if you go out and look for some of the material related to esoteric elements of 9/11, there's a lot to see there that's quite wide-ranging around that topic, and it ties into a lot of stuff going back, you know, like 50 years that would indicate that a lot of these events or the stage production we saw on that day has been planned well in advance. And
I don't doubt that. The clue, the thing to me, I mean, what I've seen is, I think you sort of referred indirectly to them, the things like the scene in The Simpsons where you've got the 9/11 with the cows
exactly,
in the background.
That kind of stuff.
That sort of thing. And that's the, what do they call that, predictive programming things. There's just to get the public to expect something in their subconscious like the events of 9/11. And so, you know, the more you look at the record of movies and cartoons and whatever before 9/11, the more you see of this of examples of this predictive programming.
Well, that's what I mean. It's very easy with, you know, in hindsight to look through everything that's happened. It's much easier for it to stand out then. But I guess the question a lot of people have is, well, what are we looking at now in media that might be indicating what could be coming up in the future? And I think it's one of those things that you can only see with hindsight.
Yeah.
But, the point I was making is that there's certainly a lot of esoteric. Just wait a minute. Here's a.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
So, I didn't have an opportunity to hear earlier, but did you cover how many people in your real life you've ever spoken to about this, or if there's anyone who's sort of aware of your views, or, you know, do people think you're completely insane?
I've talked. I had a group that I tried to form in my home area. I sent out emails and I actually advertised and got people to come to a particular coffee shop. We'd meet every 2 weeks, and it wasn't just about 9/11, but it was directed at just unusual viewpoints in general. It covered all sorts of areas like health, politics, monetary systems, but of course something like 9/11 event inevitably came up, as well as the Kennedy stuff. And I had people there who actually went as far as with me along the trail as agreeing that 9/11 was an inside job, as myself, but none of them. When I first started presenting or trying to present evidence, you know, like I'd do run a clip, a short scene from either September Clues or one of the addendum to September Clues, and it really didn't have any impression. They'd always put up, it was interesting, they'd always put up mental barriers as to why it couldn't be true. It was very interesting to watch. I mean, one guy who'd done very well, actually, a guy from a rich guy who'd retired, who had a wife, who he'd gone into, somehow accidentally got into 9/11 stuff. And I think he was an engineer, that's right, he was an engineer, and he'd discovered the stuff about, the normal stuff about WTC-7. Couldn't have, you know, it was like a controlled demolition because it wasn't hit by a plane and all the usual stuff that you hear. So I showed him a video. I showed him Simon's examination of the collapse, the WT-7 collapse. But he wouldn't see it. He just did not. It wasn't enough for him. He still thought it was a genuine video. And so he couldn't
see
a lot
of this stuff. The fact that. See, it's one thing to talk about, you know, it being an inside job, because that's such a broad term. But when you start to discuss with people the idea that maybe the TV's lying to them, or they could have been tricked by a movie that day, that obviously is going to seem to them like something that's pretty insane, and because it attacks a lot of their underlying foundations that they're living their life by. So,
absolutely,
you're faced with the fact that you're left in a position where most of the people around you are not prepared to understand this fact, and not even pay attention to it, and obviously you get treated insane. So I know you're in a hurry here because you want to get to bed. So I'll leave you with this point. If that is the case, and there are people who are not prepared to wake up for this stuff, and you can put ridiculous looking moon landers and golf buggies on the moon and things in front of their face, and they're not even prepared to entertain the idea, then is it possible that a lot of that stuff is made to look kind of silly so that people like yourself who are prepared to set yourself apart from the crowd, can become aware of it?
Yeah, it could be. It could be like a secret calling card saying, why don't you join the club? We're in on the joke over here. Why don't you come? You're in on the joke. Why don't you join our club?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be that it's a club. I mean, you're not going to pay membership or get a membership card that you carry around in your wallet. But
I don't know. I mean, maybe
more about how that works. But yeah, it's possible that one could become enlightened themselves and see the joke, so to speak.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. Like I said to Ab earlier, the older I get, the less I know. The less I'm certain of. There's very few things I'm certain of. I am, and I'm never 100%. I always leave the door slightly ajar. So even with something like September Clues, I've been September Clues almost 100% convinced for 10 years, but I still purposely leave that door 1% ajar so that I'm not going to close myself off to new information. September Clues is absolutely the best explanation I have ever come across for the events of 9/11 to date, and continues to be, and I continue to go back and re-review it for any flaws in my current thinking. And so I will try and go back and examine any purported new evidence or any new theories and try to do it with as open mind as I can. And I've done that on several occasions. But I've always, to date at least, ended up rejecting those newer theories and saying, no, it's still the Simon Shack research is, there's nothing that's as complete as that is, to me anyway, at this point. But I'm 99%, I think it's dangerous to become 100% convinced of anything. I think it's much better to...
No source of material here. So you can't put all your faith in one video.
Yeah.
The idea that you're actually learning less as you get older, I think that's a good thing. So I think most of us would have a similar sentiment there.
Yeah. It's welcome to getting old.
Anyway, it's been nice to meet you. I don't want to keep chewing your ear and have too much. I know you've already chatted a while to Ab, but as Ab's already discussed, you're already verified for the Discord community here, so you can come back anytime.
Well, thank you very much for listening to me, and I'll try and check in again, definitely on the 9th of September. Maybe I'll get a chance to do it again and come in and just listen to see what's going on.
There'll be plenty of wide-ranging topics to cover that day.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
Nice.
All right, fellas, all right, thank you for listening. And hi, everybody, and good night, everybody out there.
Yeah, good night.
Bye.
Well, that was One Born Free there, a new member on the Fakeologist Discord on the 29th of August 2018. Although it would be the 28th, where he is, of course, in the evening. How are you, Rachel?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm just wondering if he knows how to get out. Yes, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Oh, good.
I've just muted him so we don't have his fumbling recorded. It might take a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a while to work out where the disconnect button was. Hey, Cody, are you speaking? I can't hear you.
How are you, Rachel?
I'm fine, thanks. That was quite an interesting chat. I didn't catch all of it. I caught a little bit more than you, Felicity. But it was quite interesting.
Oh, okay. I just showed up about 5 minutes before the end of Ab's thing because I just noticed everyone was online, so I dived in. That's why I didn't want to ask too much because I didn't know how much ground you already covered. So, but I like where I could tell he was thinking of that. I thought it might be worth asking a few of those questions I did at the end. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I wonder if anybody who, if you get the code, whether people put bets on things. You know, the code.
Might create a gambling channel on here.
Yeah, I wonder if there is. It's difficult to know. As you say, if nobody's getting hurt, then I think the idea that they have to tell us beforehand, I think that is misdirection. I think it's something else.
Yeah, well, I used to, when I first got into this stuff and I was sort of the mind that they were actually carrying out these huge events and maybe people's brake lines did get cut and they went over cliffs or whatever. It was very easy to think that, okay, well, when you're of that spiritual mindset, it's easy to go, well, yes, it would shift the karma, wouldn't it, if they made us all aware of it first and then it'd be our actions that caused it. But, I mean, I'm no expert on logic, but I think a bit of the flaw there is that if we know it's all a fake charade, then what exactly do they need to let us know anything? And that's for me, it seems like a bit of a storybook, a lot of these events. So why not do a few callbacks to other chapters?
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's somehow I think they want to put, they want to put an idea in your head. I think that's part of the reason why they might look like they're telling us, but it's difficult because, as you say, the moon landings, when you examine it, it looks really fake. Well, most of the stuff when you examine it, once you take past the concept that it's not really in people's interest to lie, because once they find out, nobody will trust them, and so. I think everybody has that concept that, you know, big lies, you don't tell because you've still got to live in the, you know, in your road the next day, or you've got to go to work the next day. So I think that was like the hardest thing for me, is to realise the lies that they tell are so big that it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter if you work it out. What are you going to do?
Well, that's what I mean. How many people, like, for years, like, my whole awakening thing, I went through 9/11 moon landings, you know, so on and so forth, like most people. I know you're the slightly odd one who's come in through the politics angle. But just like, I even remember going back, I was like 14. Like, I've only sort of really woken up to all the stuff we would call, you know, we would be aware of here on Fakeologist in the last 2 years or so. But even back when I was 14 years old, I used to look at the moon landings. That's sort of the one conspiracy I knew about as a younger kid. But that, of course, I was tied up looking at where the crosshairs were on the camera and if the crosshairs were in front sometimes and behind other times, or how come there's no dust on the feet of the lamb, you know, like all that silly kind of misdirection, which now that I look at it, and I think most people will agree, you look at it and it looks comically fake, like literally a pile of fish parked on some sand. And they're claiming they flew to a place that it doesn't seem we can actually fly to. Yeah. But I think SMJ phrased it one way. He said, like, why would you believe? The concept is ridiculous. And when he elaborated on that, he said, these people claim they got in rockets and flew to the moon. Like, that even seems like a children's fairy tale, just the description of it. So I certainly see it that way now.
Yeah, I wonder if you work backwards, you've got the Kennedy assassination, and then before, well, the whole build up of his presidency was to say we're going to the moon and we're doing it at the end before the end of the decade. And then once he's got that in play, then he gets removed. That's his big thing. That was his. I mean, there's other things, but that's one of his big purposes. And then you've got coming up to the end of the decade, the testing, and we reckon they can get into low Earth atmosphere. And I wonder if Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and the other person, whether up until quite close to when they were going, they really thought they were going. You know, because the brainwashing was there with Star Trek and the idea of everything going. But I wonder if they thought up until quite close that they were actually going to go, and there were like problems or troubles, but you know, they were sure we'll work this out. And then when it come to very close, so they were sold that we're not ready, but if we lie about it, we'll fail Kennedy, we'll fail the dead Kennedy, if we, you know, we'll be ready by 1970 1971, but he promised we'd be up there by 1969 at the end of the century. And they actually, because they carried the can, didn't they, for the lie. And
are you talking specifically about the three gentlemen who went to the moon?
Yeah.
Or are you saying, okay, well, I mean, once you put the pieces together, that Kennedy most likely did not die that day.
Yeah.
We're looking at nothing more than another stage charade for the masses. Then, yeah. I mean, if those three guys were just your standard military order followers, and they were convinced they had to do it for Kennedy's sake, that's possible. I mean, I'm not going to speculate too much. But, I mean, maybe they're excellent actors, because that press conference they did when they got back was some pretty crazy stuff, the look on those guys' faces. Yeah. So, I'm not sure whether they maybe think these days that they're traitors to humanity, or maybe they are all just masons and in on the joke.
Yeah, it's just because, you know, because they had to tell the lie, didn't they? They had to live with it and go out there and tell it. And I just wonder if they were guilt-tripped into it and that they weren't fully aware.
Well, that's another interesting fact. When you look at a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, what's the guy who did that? I forget his name.
I know the one that you mean, yeah.
Yeah, we've got so many people in the live stream and no one can jump in for a bit of support here. But, yeah, that guy... Those reactions he gets.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
He goes around and interviews him and starts questioning him on that stuff. Now, if I were a betting man, I would say they genuinely seem pretty disgruntled that he's asking him those questions. And it seems, in that video at least, that these are the guys that have just signed a non-disclosure agreement and are getting pressed on something, and they seem quite genuinely agitated. I don't think they're actors in the sense that they're pulling off an agitated act. I think they're genuinely agitated, but I suspect that guy was sent round specifically just to wind them up, you know, like whoever's in on this elite joke, I think they've intentionally, like he's not out for truth. He was sent there to wind them up and catch them off guard as a bit of a joke on them and one of their sort of hazing things, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wonder that, but it's they could have been in it from the start, but they look so disappointed on when they have to come out in that weird press conference. It's, you know, it seems how far up to, I mean, you just trust your superiors, wouldn't you? And even if it wasn't going to plan, and if somewhere close they said, we're not going to make it before the end of the year, but we will do in 70 or 71. You know, they might say, we'll be ready in 70, but we need you to do this now. And then when the next moon landing comes, the next set of guys, because it's a different set of guys, isn't it, is told the same bull. We don't need to go again.
Yeah, well, that's the classic, it's not safe enough. That's the classic nature of compartmentalisation.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the story of the how you get two groups of soldiers and you split them up and you give them each THT and you say, we're doing a nuclear blast over on that island, you need to go to this island and blast some TNT for comparison. And then you tell the other lot, hey, we're doing a nuclear blast over on that island, you need to take this TNT and do a blast for comparison. And then you end up with two lots of guys setting off TNT and being none the wiser. I mean, I know those tricks can be played, but at this point it's all just speculation on the mythology behind how they pull out these things. I think that's what drives most people to hang around here is the how they're doing it is.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. They're just nasty people. I just think the people who end up carrying the can probably are, like, duped. Then again, I mean, to get to where they are, they're all that they need to make compromises to get to where they are, so you can't feel sorry for them, really.
Well, like I said to One Born Free, if you were able to look at some of these hoax events and see signs and symbols that pointed out to you where the next one was going to be, and then you actually started correctly predicting them, how would you feel about these, you know, these evil people then?
I don't know. I think just seeing what we see now, I just think they're pathetic, actually. I don't. They don't impress me. I think they have to do things for fake. They can't do real things to make it, you know, to make life better. They do that. They're just pathetic.
Well, it depends really what you think. It depends on your definition of what a better life is. I mean, I for one appreciate the brilliance of what they did on 9/11. That's no matter whether you think it's for good or evil, or whether those two, you know, false dichotomies actually exist. Fact is, it's a pretty masterful thing to be able to control as many people as they do in that manner, to pull off an event that would have, you know, 99.999% of the population convinced that we're under attack by terrorists and we need to actually have stricter security laws. It's quite a brilliant thing, objectively.
Quite a feat. Yeah, but only because something like that hasn't happened before. I mean, they wouldn't be able to pull that off again. I mean, it was self-defeating. I mean, it's the snake eating its own tail. It's like, they wouldn't be able to pull that off again.
Wouldn't be able to pull what off again? You don't think they'd be able to do another event that big?
Well, not and fool the people, everybody. You know, it might have been good, but it was the nirvana. It's downhill all the way now for them. Do you not think?
I'm not sure the amount of people that are aware of the fakery growing.
I don't know.
I may well think we could be the last set of actual thinking, humans that are actually figuring this stuff out, and maybe we're a dying breed.
No. I don't believe that at all, because I just went on a random walk. This was a few months ago. Just, you know, for an exercise, and there were people building they were doing canal work, and I don't know, I just got talking, and we ended up talking about 9/11, and this is two people that I'd never met, never talked to. Within 15 minutes, they were talking about the planes, and they were talking about, the collapse. And the younger one, it's funny, because we talked about the moon landings as well, and the younger one believed that landing on the moon was definitely true, but the collapse was of the building was definitely, it was brought down in a controlled demolition. But the older one thought the planes could have actually knocked down the building, because of the fire and the collapse and whatever, but the moon landings were definitely fake. But well, what I'm saying is,
there's definitely evidence for a few.
These two people I've never met before, and we got onto that topic literally within 15 minutes of talking randomly about, because we were putting a crossing on a canal bridge, so when the canal bridge is open, cars don't fall over. And I just said, nobody's moron enough to do that. And from me having that conversation saying it's just somebody earning money, nobody's more going to be a moron enough to drive off the end of the bridge when it's open. We ended up on 9/11 and the moon landed. So to me, people are talking about it, maybe not out loud in work, but I
would say that it's one thing to be truly aware, and like a lot of fakeologists might call themselves, but I mean, a lot of people are talking about sort of disinfo campaigns that seem to be put there intentionally. Like, I mean, it's no different with the moon landings or talking about directed energy weapons. I mean, those things do have a lot larger followings, but they seem to be storylines that have been intentionally set up and put there as a controlled opposition.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still just all part of the divide and conquer Hegelian dialectic thinking. You know, you need to have that that opposition set up by your own people. And I mean, I believe in that, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I know people seem to think that a lot of people aren't aware. It's just a lot of people, they do say it, but they don't know I'm not saying to the depth that we do about the, or whatever. I don't know how deep I see it, but, you know, I'm not saying about the no planes, but they do say that there's something wrong. I think there is that sense, but it's like, what do? You've still got to go to work and earn your money.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, the idea of the world changing when everyone supposedly wakes up, I mean, I'm not convinced that's going to happen, but I'm not saying that couldn't happen. I mean, you could somehow convince or allow other people to see for themselves that what they've been doing most of their life has been a deception. And you may reach some tipping point where everyone in society wakes up and they all see it for what it is. But then you'd be left wondering, like, would that really lead to a better society than we had now if you had a mass of disgruntled people? I mean, at the end of the day, people do cling to leadership structures and they need leadership and structure in their life. So, I mean, you got to ask yourself, who are we to go shitting plans of people that evidently have more knowledge than and may have a good reason behind what they're doing, even if it does take a bit of deception and coercion. At the end of the day, we know they're not really killing anyone, are they?
Yeah. Well, not in the way that they say they are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because I come from a political point of view, society, well, I don't know about your country, but, you know, I'm going by what I've witnessed in my country. It's getting nastier from the point of view of the people who control us, the people who are in control, not the people in the street. There's no, you know, any violence, like, it's all made up on the news. But the people who are in control, it's nasty. I mean, they've brought a bill in, or they're bringing a bill in now to change consent for organ donation, whereas if you don't opt out, they can take your organs if you've been in an accident or whatever. And you might say, well, you don't know, but they take it from you before you're dead. You know, somebody makes a decision that you're not coming back. But who knows what death is at what point? And the plan on switching it round is so the idiots who don't, I'm not calling them, but that's how they, I can see they see them, the idiots that don't know to opt out, we've got Bugsy on their bodies. I think it's really, really nasty.
Yeah, organ donation is an interesting topic, and I'm surprised I haven't heard more about that in places like this. I mean, I'm not sure what the real cost is of giving away your organs. I mean, if I were to look at the mainstream narrative we're told, someone who may be close to death can actually be helped by the donation of
the organs of someone. And if that is as simple as it is, then that seems like a good thing. But of course, we don't know the other aspect of it, of the implications it has for the person donating the organ.
Yeah, well, I think it should be by consent always. It should be somebody's choice, not somebody because you didn't tick the right box at the right time or let us know through whatever. We get to keep your organs, because that's a slippery slope. That's particularly when you're not dead. When they take it, you're not dead. They might say you're brain dead, but what does that mean? I mean, we know how much they just lie about stuff like that. You know, the fact is they don't wait until your heart stops and you die before you take it. Do you take them? It's just, you know what I'm saying is, you might say, oh, well, it saves somebody else's life. But it should be, it's your property. Your body is your property, so it should be your right to, you know, say, yes, that this is my gift to this, or no, it's not.
Well, anyone who is concerned about that still has the option to say no. So there's, if someone is worried about it, there's a system to go by to do that. It's I understand what you're saying. It's opt-in instead of opt-out. But at the end of the day, people who are concerned about that issue still have the choice. No one's forcing them.
Yeah, but you know that it's a slippery slope. You know the next stage is, then that won't be a choice, because that's the way they work. They don't say, oh, we've created all the rules that we've created, we can get rid of government. You know it's a slippery slope. You know that they'll come back to it, and they'll know instead of it being by consent, it will be, but they'll get this embedded in place, and then they move it on. They move it on, they always do, until we are slaves. I think it's the start of slavery. I actually do, where the government is saying, we own your body. That's the first step, is saying that we own your body. I just think it's terrible that it goes further than consent or non-consent. It's taking away a people's humanity and everything. That this is what I think is really nasty, is everything they're currently doing in society is taking away people's humanity. And, as I say, Australia might not be the same as what's going on here.
I would have a look myself to figure out what the current way it works here. I know that I'm currently an organ donor because I've never taken the time to change it, but I did opt into that when I was a lot younger. I don't know a lot of what's going on, because I just found out last night that we had a new prime minister, which makes it 5 days since it actually happened, and I wasn't even aware of it. So that tells you how much news I've been paying attention to.
Same here. It's because you opt out of the... you're sick of hearing the lies that you constantly hear on the news, and so you miss, stuff like that. I don't know. The thing is if you don't know to opt out, how can you opt out? You know, it's as simple as that. If you don't know how to opt out, you can't opt out. And it's property. Whatever you're looking at, your body is your property. It's more your property than anything.
But you're aware of this now, right? So you can opt out. So you're worried about people who don't know being robbed of their organs. Is that the issue?
I'm worried about where it's leading, because that's not stationary, and particularly because the people that they've used to push it are actors, and I don't believe that the person, the poster boy for somebody who had an heart transplant, is a real person, and I don't know how big the real problem is. Oh, you can't trust them. You know, the data that they get, how do we know this saves loads of people's lives? We've only got the same people telling us this, that tells us that the moon landings are real. You see,
I certainly agree. There's plenty of things, ideas,
about in our heads, but the on closer inspection, that's I like to always go by how many people do I really know? You know, like when they say, oh, all these people died, I'm like, well, how many of them do you know? What evidence do you have apart from the pictures you saw on the TV? Like, and that's where I think sometimes it might not be worth getting too riled up about it if it's something that isn't really directly affecting your life. I mean, a lot of people are very affected by the things they see on TV, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect them if they don't want to let it affect them. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've got to go get something to eat. So I don't continue on the audio more than welcome to, but I'm going to move into one of the other rooms so my eating is coming live stream. Yeah. But it was the 28th of August. And we were chatting earlier to One Born Free, who's a new member on Fakeologist. And then just for the last half hour, you've had Rachel and myself for set. And Rollo's been very quiet, which is very unusual.
Yeah, well, I might as well leave when you do, because I think there'll only be me left.
Okay, well, we'll move to another room.
Right, yeah. Okay, nice speaking to you, Felicia. Yes.
This is Cody from Memphis. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.